Welcome to Freshfire's weekly podcast.
I want to just talk about briefly this journey we've had over these last 8 years at Freshfire. In June, it will be 8 years since Fresh Fire was planted back in a school in Gorton in 2012, June 2012. And I remember back in 2009 getting the word of the Lord to take everything we had and leave it behind, leave our friends, leave our family, leave what we knew, and to move to Manchester to start a church. And we knew we weren't just starting a church, we knew we were starting something of a movement. And these last 8 years, they've been the ride of our lives. Anyone like roller coasters? Yeah, okay. Yeah. Some people love them, right? I actually love them. I really do. But there are those moments on it where you actually feel like your face is going to melt, or you know your body is undergoing so much G-force, you don't know if you're going to snap in half or something like that, you know. And living in the kingdom and living for the kingdom can be like that. It can be this roller coaster. It's not this plain sailing, nice little gentle roll down a stream in a little boat. Just you and the Lord holding hands. No, it's whitewater rapids. It's roller coasters. It's the ups and downs, the highs, the lows. But you know what? In it all, God is faithful. He is faithful. He is consistent. He does not change. But I remember those years ago taking one of the biggest gambles of our lives and meeting with people in some friends and family who we'd invited to come and listen to what we felt God had put on our hearts. And we took them away to a place in Scotland called Moffat. And we had a time of just sharing the vision. Luke came, Lynn came, Billy came. I think there's one or two others who aren't here today who were there as well. But it was a time of vision casting. And Rachel and I just said, hey, you know what? God's given us this vision. We have absolutely no confidence in of ourselves to accomplish it. It's a God vision. But do you fancy coming on the ride with us? And thankfully, Billy and Lynn and Luke and these others said, yeah, let's do this. And we set out in the unknown, not knowing whether it was going to work, not knowing what it was going to cost us, and making a huge adjustment in our life, not knowing the prices we would have to pay along the way. And I find myself today back in that same place at this point where I'm questioning, okay, God, you know, are you asking for another 10 years? You're asking for another season of roller coasters and whitewater rapids and highs and lows and sacrifice and cost and scars and all of that. And he's like, oh yeah, I ain't done yet. Just getting warmed up. And so I want to share with you today what God's put on my heart and what we feel we're carrying as a leadership here about the next season, particularly the next 2 years, but in the context of the next 10. And we're going to be start talking about phases of this next 10-year vision. Phase one will be 2020 to 2022. Phase two will be 2022 to 2025. And phase three will be 2025 to 2030. And I find myself in that place years ago. There's this beautiful hymn I always find myself singing in times where the Lord is saying, blessed are you, Adam, and highly favored. You know, in those moments when God's saying, I'm putting my favor on you, which really means I'm putting a heck of a lot of responsibility on you. Don't mess it up. And I find myself singing this. I'm not going to sing. I'll say it. All to Jesus, I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence. Daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Jesus, I surrender all. There is a need, I believe, in this next season for all of us to get to that place. What if God has such an adventure in store for each and every one of you that in 10 years from now, you'd be looking back and you'd be saying, I'm glad I sang the song, I surrender all. I'm glad I laid everything down. What if there's such an adventure that lies ahead in these next 10 years where there is absolute manifestations of God's glorious presence, where you see all kinds of miracles through your life, where you actually start to break ground into new territory, that you take the territory in the city, in the nation, that we actually see a lasting change. What if that kind of adventure awaits you right now, and all it requires from you is your yes? God blew my mind 2019 and 2020 with where he was saying he was taking us, and I just had to get to the end of myself where I said, you know what, God, all right, sign me up another 10. I'm in. Sign me up another 10 years. And I know that as he's starting to pull back the veil, he's starting to show the details of that season. And I want to share some of those things with you. And so I want to invite you to join the adventure that is Fresh Fire in this next season. An adventure of exponential proportions. Exponential. I want you to lay a hold of that word. That was a word Abby brought out at the beginning of the year when she prophesied brought the word for the year. The word was exponential. And it means becoming more and more rapid. More and more rapid. Now, we joke around here about this place being a kind of 100 miles an hour. And those of you who are in know, and you will feel the current of it. But the thought of it increasing, it's like doing the world's fastest roller coaster, but then it gets turbocharged. Expo, the first part of that word, actually means a large international exhibition. And I believe what God is calling this house to in this next season is to move from the shadows and move from the fringe and to actually step into a place of being much more of a center stage flagship movement where people of other tribes and other movements and other denominations and other churches and ministries actually see some strength and start to make a demand and a pull on that strength, that we are able to take some of the good qualities that we have as a church family, as a tribe, and to share them and to give them away to others who need what we have. One of the things I love so much about the Restoration Center right now is that the right built into the culture of it is the desire to give it away. Everything that we've accomplished, everything that we've achieved, everything that we've learned, everything that we've discovered, every victory we've ever had, we want to pack it up and give it away so that other churches in our city and in our nation can actually start to walk in the freedom that comes through Jesus Christ. And we're so blessed right now to be actually raising up a team of practitioners from other churches in other parts of the country who are being trained for their churches so that they can actually start to bring healing, wholeness, and freedom and deliverance to people in their parts of the world. What I found sad was some of the more greater resourced churches in our city over these last couple of years. Big churches, big names, you think they've got it all together. But what has been sad for me is the fact that they've had to outsource their pastoral care to here. And we started to ask the question, well, why are you not able to do this in your house? Why do you not have the infrastructure? And we're like, well, the solution, we'll help, we'll serve, we'll minister to your people, but surely the answer is that we got to train some people and send them back to you so that you have the answer in your own house. And that's been the heart of Restoration Center, and it's certainly the heart of Fresh Fire, that as we are growing, we're not wanting to get more. We don't want more people. We love all of you. We really do. And we're blessed to have so many people who are part of the movement, but we actually want to sow you. We want to release you. We want to send you away. And that's part of this exponential, is that we have the ability to take the distinctive that God's given this tribe and to give it away to the nations. Over these last years, I've been charged with the mandate as an apostle, as part of a fivefold ministry team. Apostles, ultimately, they're the ones that go first, not that in a hierarchical order, but they go first. They go into the territory first. They make a way. They break ground, and they lay foundations, and they focus on structure. And over these last years, I've been working on the foundations to get the foundations really right in the house, and we're not finished yet. There's still more work to do, but we're at a place now where the foundations and the culture, we've started to give much more clarity to it and understand it better, and we're able now to start to build for the next season. And so I've always seen my role over the years as one who is here to plant the seed, to get the foundations right, to get the building blocks in place. But we're moving into a season now, and I believe over this next 10 years, we're moving from that foundation where one man sows, and we're going to move into a season where another man waters. And we're moving into the season of somebody else builds on top of the foundations. So we need to adjust our thinking to start to think bigger than one person. We need to start to think bigger in terms of what our role is right now, here and now, for today. And we actually have to start to think about the next generation and the emerging generation. I'm loving how many kids we've got. But I want to make sure when we're done, when we're finished, and we're sipping on pina coladas on some beach somewhere, looking back, we know it's in safe hands. We know that the movement that God started those years ago is in safe hands, in the hands of these kids who are firebrands for God, able to go further than we've ever gone. And so we have to start to think about legacy as well. So let's have a look. Where's God taking us over this year? Resonance. Who was there for Resonance Conference? Yay. I'm going to send these slides out, so if you can't see things on there, don't worry. We had Resonance 2019, and it was such a powerful time. I actually felt this seismic shift for the city, but specifically, actually, for us at Fresh Fire, I felt what God did, he wiped the slate clean, and he drew a line, and he said, end of part one. And I felt like he was giving us permission to start to push into new territory and move into part two. And so Resonance 2020 this year is going to be epic. We're going to be launching out all our new ministries and new projects that I'm going to tell you about. So Resonance 2020 is going to mark the start of a new decade of growth in Fresh Fire. Okay, so how's it going to look? Well, the first thing is we're recognizing we're moving into a movement. We are actually going to become a network that's apostolically led, relationally connected, and missionally focused. And one of the things that we've been working on, as I say, I've been laying the foundations, but you know what? The rest of the fivefold ministry are starting to kick in to gear. We've got the emergence of the prophetic right now. And Abby and Delicious and Nadia and others are working to build the prophetic community as part of this family. But we've also got amazing teachers who are teaching in all kinds of different forms, in through Restoration Center, through Sundays, through other ministries. We've got pastors, great pastors in the church who are, again, expressed at different levels in different ministries. We've got Brett and Ruth, our campus pastors here, are doing a fab job of looking after us all, especially me. But the missing piece of the puzzle over the years has been the evangelists. And I believe now we're in the season for the evangelists. We're in the season to start to see souls won to Christ. And we've had first fruits over these last few weeks. We've got a few evangelists already in the house, but we're adding more into the house. Why? Because I believe the foundations are in a strong enough place now for us to be able to adequately and appropriately and effectively disciple new believers and help them integrate into church family. In the past, the foundations haven't been there to do it, but now they are. And so there is this network of fivefold ministries and churches that has been established right now. What else? Hey, there he is. We're recognizing, and especially with a word that Sharon Stone gave us in 2018 at Resonance, which one thing Sharon said was, you guys need to start pushing into media. And until you do, there's a direct link between your building and the media project. If you start to invest in your media, then God will release all the other resources. Big word, public word, on the stage, Resonance 2018. Well, I'm pleased to say we are doing just that. We are starting to invest in our media. And by the end of this year, we hope to have platforms in which we can distribute all the teaching, the ministry, the worship, everything that we do in-house to take it out and resource the wider church. And I want to introduce to you this morning a new member of the staff team, Jay. Would you stand, Jay? Give us a twirl. Jay's coming on board a couple of days a week to help us to start to build the media platform. And we're going to have exciting news over these next weeks and months about what that's going to look like for us. But we do believe in this next season, we need to take what God is doing here and to partner with his agenda of taking us out from the fringe, out from the sidelines, into a visible place. Let me tell you something about me. Over the years, when we first planted Fresh Fire, God said to me he was going to take me personally into a season of obscurity. And I went into this time where I'm leading a church, part of a group of churches in Retford in Nottinghamshire, and Worksop in near Sheffield. I was working part of a wider team there. In a very comfortable ministry, actually, and it was doing well, growing. We were moving into our new building. It was doing really well, but God says, Adam, I'm taking you out, and I'm taking you into a season of obscurity. While you're at it, plant a church. And so, literally, I went from this growing, emerging leader with this revivalist call into, what happened to that guy from Bible college? What happened to that guy who was leading that church in Worksop? What happened to that Andy Grooves? What happened to... who is he again? What was his name? You know, and there was that. And it was a few years ago, God started to say, your season in the hidden place, your season in the secret place is finished. It's time to come out and making you visible, which... I've never been one for visibility. I actually grew accustomed to obscurity and being hidden in the secret place where I prefer to be. But I realized that what God was trying to do was to fix something and form something in me in a hidden place so that when I come out into a public place, I can manifest the strength that he put in me in this secret place, right? I believe what he did with me, he's doing with the house. in that we've been in a place of obscurity, we've been in a place of hiddenness, but now what he's doing is he's bringing us out. And people are starting to talk about this movement, Fresh Fire. And I hear stuff when I'm out and about, oh, you're part of Fresh Fire. We go to places, and Leona goes to places, and others travel. And wherever they travel, we go, oh, yeah, you're Fresh Fire, you're Fresh Fire, you're Fresh Fire. And we're like, what is going on here? You know, why is this happening? And it's because God is actually trying to set us up into a place so that that which we've been faithfully giving away to a community and to a city, he's now positioning us to give away to a nation. And I believe media is an important part of that. And so, get ready. And if you feel like you want to be a part of that media ministry, then talk to me, talk to Jay, talk to Abby, talk to any of the team, and we'll give you info how you can get involved in doing that. And so we want to have an online teaching platform. We want to do e-courses. We want to have music videos. We want to do live streaming. We want to do all these things that takes what's happening and gives away. The next thing, if you was at conference, you remember there was that one night where Emma Stark was talking about dreaming big. And she said, I'm asking God for something. Ask for God something big, something only he can do. And so I was going, well, I want the building, Lord. And she looked over at me and she said, stop thinking about that building, Adam Graves. You need to be thinking about the academies and the she actually used the word university. You need to start thinking about the training and the equipping and the raising of leaders and the education and all. I'm like, Well, the academy has been something that's been on the shelf for a long time. But on that night, I felt that the Holy Spirit said, this is the word. And I remember in that moment, I got a sense. I looked over at Karen, and I'm like, yeah, Karen, you're meant to help me do it. And I just ran over to Karen and said, you're meant to help me do this. But I believe we all are, all of us as a house, to commit to building a center where we can train healthy, emotionally intelligent, spiritually, supernaturally aware leaders to go into the spheres of society and to take the kingdom of God. But not just that, to go out and to plant churches, to start ministries, and to start setting the world on fire for Jesus. Amen? So, hopefully by the end of phase one, that's the end of 2022, we will have the academy working in some format. I believe we're going to start off with some night classes and night school and then move into more of a part-time curriculum than a full-time curriculum. But if you want to be a part of that, start praying into it. Start asking God how he might use you in that. Next up, music. Oh, yeah. Can you imagine today if you could bottle that today and just give it away to others? Oh, my goodness. I believe there is a mandate on this house to release the sound of heaven. Leona's not here today, but she would be sharing this morning. But we've got Katie, we've got Paul, we've got Keith, we've got all these great musicians a part of this team. And sharing is caring. And I really believe that we need to take what we've got, find the fresh thing that God is doing with worship and music, and release it to the world. And so I've set the guys a challenge that by conference this year that they work on, write, and produce their first EP. Woo-hoo! Yes. Okay, that's exciting. They are some gifted songwriters, real talented musicians. And I think it's time now that we start to stretch them, right? Start to challenge them to start writing their own stuff, to start writing in the flow of what heaven's doing right now. And I believe we're in a season right now where God is really starting to address the church about the fear of the Lord. And I believe part of what we're going to see in the future is going to be much more throne room centered worship, where God is the focus. As wonderful as it is to know his goodness is running after us, it's all the more powerful and profound when we partner with heaven's song that says, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." When we start to partner with throne room worship. And so I believe over this next season, we're going to start to see much more creativity in that area. Okay, what else? Well, this year, we want to start to take again the things that we're doing and to give it away. And so there are people already now starting to write and create and to create resources to give away to the wider church. So all the courses that we do on Restoration Center, all the teaching that we do through the prophetic ministry, all the other things, all the wonderful things, the great creative gifting that we have, we want to pack it up and give it away and put what we're accomplishing in the hands of other people. So publishing is going to be launched this year. And we should have new products out this year, manuals, books, workbooks, all these kind of things that are going to help complement that. One of the things that we've been finding over the years, particularly as I travel, is that there are churches who are starting to talk to us and say, we want to come into relationship with you. We want to keep our own name. We want to keep our own identity. We want to keep our own vision. But we just recognize there's something that Fresh Fire has that we need to come under and be a part of and to download from. And up until now, we've been saying no, because we haven't been ready for that. But now I feel that the green light is there from heaven. God is saying, actually, guys, people need to drink from the well. People need the resource that you have. And so we're starting to open up conversations again with people who are looking to come into a family, into, you know, the days of denominations, by the way, they're finishing. You know that, don't you? Praise the Lord. But what God is really doing is starting to unite people together who just are like-minded, running together, where there's no uniformity, but there is diversity and unity. And I love the fact that we run together with some great houses in this nation, with Sharon's ministry in Windsor, with Emma's ministry in Glasgow, with movements like Prayer Storm, with other ministries and churches in the city. God is really starting us to put us hand in hand with people who are going to help us run faster and stronger and more stable. And I believe that one of the things that he's asking of us is that we become that to others, that we start to be ones who take our strength and pour it into others so that they too can walk in a fullness of strength. And so we're going to have a network of churches and relationships of ministries, even itinerant ministries, that are just going to want to be part of the family. They don't have to come to Fresh Fire. They don't have to wear a Fresh Fire jumper or t-shirt or anything like that. They just want to be family. And I think that's going to be an exciting new challenge for me and for all the team here, but a challenge that we're saying yes to right now. New territories. There's our Nadia in Mexico City preaching up a storm. Fresh Fire is going to go into new territories, and we're super excited about it. What we feel God is saying to us is over these next 10 years, we want to multiply the churches that we have. We want to multiply leaders. And I've been really challenged of late. We put a great emphasis on the prophetic here, don't we? Right? And I'm one of these, I don't want to get it wrong, which sometimes can lead to procrastination, by the way. Mm-hmm. I'm talking to some people. Whilst confessing. Yeah, because you don't want to get it wrong. You end up not doing anything, right? And I'm like that, you know. I wanna have the sky lit up. There has to be an angelic manifestation with a scroll handed to me. And then I'm like, this is the way forward. That's been a ton of prophetic confirmation. And one of the things that's been good, because over the years it's helped us cultivate an appreciation for the prophetic, and it helped us keep in step and in tune with the Spirit. But where we're going now, and since we're in this evangelistic thrust, this missional endeavor, the Holy Spirit says, Adam, you're waiting for a yes I gave 2,000 years ago. It's always been go. Matthew 28. There we are. We made it. Matthew 28. You've been holding the page all this time. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Which nation? Which? And teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you. Two important things there. One is go. Two, I'm with you. Now, me in my super spirituality was all, okay, the God, if God hasn't said, and I go, then he's not coming. And, you know, there are some times and some seasons where that actually it does apply. And you have to discern that correctly. But generally, it's a go until it's a no. It's a go until it's a no. It's a go into all the nations. Everywhere, go. And it says, I'm with you. I'm in it. I'm behind it. I'm endorsing it. I'm blessing it. This is my yes with your yes. And so, we were at a workshop at Ivy Church back in January, and the Holy Spirit just literally took my perspective and turned it completely on its head. And he said, how many churches do you want to plant? How many people do you want to reach? How many leaders do you want to raise? And we started to dream together and to just throw crazy numbers out there. It's not big enough, but think bigger. And we're like, what? And I find myself defaulting back to why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? Have we got a point to prove? Have we got an axe to grind or anything like that? And it's like, no. We're doing it out of obedience to a word given 2,000 years ago to go into all the world and to make disciples. And so planting churches is part of taking territory for the kingdom of God. And so over this next season, we want to plant a bunch of churches. So currently in 2020, we have 5, 3 in Nepal and 2 here. By 2022, so in the next 3 years, we want to have planted 3 more. Well, I want to do more than that, but too small. Amen. Right, you're the next church plant. Right, anybody else? Any more volunteers? Who's going next? 2025, we want to have doubled to 16. By 2030, we want to have gone to 64 churches. That means we'd be in 6 continents. Billy's wanting to go to Antarctica, which would make it 7. And so, We want by 2022 to have raised 120 leaders by 2022. By 2025, 360. By 2030, 1,000 leaders across the movement. We want to have, by 2025, 2 apostolic centers. By 2030, we want to have 4. By 2025, we want to have 4 restoration centers. By 2030, we want to have 6 restoration centers across the movement. Leona, by 2030, wants to have 3 Papa's House homes. And we also want to have 2 academy centers across the movement in the next 10 years. So this is our 10-year travel plan. If you think it's easy, let me hear you. I think it is, personally. I think it's easy. If we're all hands on deck, I want to add some zeros on the end of some of those numbers. If you're with me, all you need to do today is just say yes. Yes. Say yes. Okay. You're going. Who else is going? You're going. You're going. You're going. So in the next 5 years, we're believing God that we'll be 16 churches across 15 countries, 5 continents, with 32 campus leaders, 360 leaders in the next 5 years. Praise the Lord. You know, there's that psalm that says, ask and I'll give you the nations. You have not because you ask not. So prayer warriors, intercessors, prophets, start doing the prayer to make the path straight, because we're coming. We're going into the territories to take the kingdom and to see this movement increase. Okay. So that's 5 to 16 churches in the next 5 years. How are we going to do it? The first thing is we're going to consolidate. So you heard last week we talked about Elliot and Kezia coming to join the team. They are going to be spearheading and re-strategizing the work in Oldham so that we hit Oldham strong and head on with the full force of Fresh Fire, with signs, wonders, miracles, and we're going after the lost. A real powerful missional agenda. And we realize we need the full fivefold ministry to be breaking into new territories. And so Elliot's going to be coming here, be based in here, working alongside Ben. And together they're going to be forging out what evangelistic ministry is going to look like as part of Fresh Fire. Meanwhile, we're all going to regroup. We're going to reestablish the family culture, re-envision the leaders, reaffirm our values, and reapproach the mission. And so we're getting everybody back in-house, touch base, let's refresh, let's recharge, and let's get ready to go. We're also going to launch a church planting school. And so over these next 9 months, people who want to plant churches as part of Fresh Fire, and this is only for people in Fresh Fire at this stage, if you want to plant a church as part of Fresh Fire, we're going to have some evenings on where we invite you to come on a school and to just get equipped to go out. And so at some point in the next 12 to 18 months, you can be planning on planting a church. The next thing is on here is Resonance will be the launch pad for a lot of these ministries we're talking about. So music's going to go to a level, publishing's going to go to a level. We're going to use that platform to commission out new church plant teams and sending teams out into new territories. We're also going to start promoting reproduction. You see the rabbit on the screen. We have called to reproduce. Everyone is called to reproduce after your own kind. Every one of you, whether you like it or not, you already are reproducing. The people that you spend time with catch something off you. And hopefully it's good investment and good seed into their life. But there's a way in which we can start to be intentional about this. And we're actually going to start being proactively encouraging all our leadership to reproduce after themselves, and to encourage all of you to start to be discipled closely, intimately, relationally, so that you can grow into leadership. And we have a whole leadership pathway. If you're interested in growing into leadership, then talk to one of the leaders about that. And I'm believing that every single person in this house won't be here in a few years' time. That's my heart. I want to see everybody on an adventure somewhere, lighting the world up for Jesus. And there's only a few amens on that one. Yay! Adventure! And so, reproduction is an important tool that we're going to start to talk about. Let's have a look. Biblically, Genesis 1:12, the earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which in which, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. Be fruitful and multiply, increase in number. Matthew 28, we've just read that one. And this is Paul writing to the Corinthian church, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. As you should imitate me, you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ. 1 Corinthians 4, Paul again, I'm not writing this to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children, even though you have 10,000 fathers, guardians, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. Philippians 4, 9, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. 2 Thessalonians 3, 7 to 9 says this, for you yourselves know that you should imitate us. Because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with toil and labor we worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. You see this theme coming through? There is this call for all of us to be reproducing after our own kind, which puts the emphasis and the importance on the fact that we all need to get ourselves in a healthy place where we're safe, where we're emotionally healthy, spiritually healthy, before we start to reproduce. I believe one of the things that we've been seeing, this is my perspective, particularly on evangelism, which is why we've not had a strong evangelistic thrust, is because I see so many people making converts but not disciples. And it's, for me, it's the equivalent of a one-night stand, the product of a one-night stand, somebody getting saved but actually not really having a father. Someone just had seed sown but no actual mentorship, discipleship, training. You know, anybody can have kids, right? But it takes a father to teach, to train, to nurture, to love, to tend to. And I believe what we're cultivating here in Fresh Fire, if we can reproduce leaders, we can reproduce fathers and mothers, we can start to father those people who come into the kingdom so they're not just saying a prayer on a street and we never see them again. They're actually being brought into a family because God puts the lonely in families, right? So for me, the emphasis over the years has been getting a house right so that it's safe, so that people who are broken, who are coming in and they find Jesus, that they recognize Jesus saved them from their sins and washed them clean and set them into a new family, but now they need father heart encounters and they need to understand that they're coming into a house where the Father loves them with an everlasting love, where they can get fixed, they can get healed, they can get whole, and they can grow and they can do mighty exploits for God. Paul writes to Timothy, you, however, follow my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me in Antioch. Philippians 3, brothers, join in imitating me and fix your eyes on those who walk according to the example in us. You see, I believe as we are moving forward and we're going into this season of exponential growth, you know, if everybody in this room leads one person to Christ, that's exponential growth, right? But it's not just about getting your Instagram post or your Facebook feed loaded up with how many people you led to Jesus this day. It's about actually taking the responsibility of taking somebody from that saving grace moment into a journey and walking with them till they can stand on their own two feet. I believe that's what we need to see. I believe that's what it's all about. And it's interesting to me that Jesus spent 3 years first doing discipleship before his disciples got saved. Think about that one. Discipleship's the key to it. And so I believe if we can get this reproduction principle in motion, in play, it's got to start with us. It's got to start with me. If we can get it in play, I believe we start to build a house that's not only growing numerically, but it's growing in depth of spirituality and maturity. Amen? So, I'm going to fast track through these. This is what we know so far. Nadia is going to be going back to Mexico. She'll be taking a team with her. She'll be reestablishing the work in Mexico City. And so we are so blessed by this mighty, mighty woman of God. I love the bravery of people like Nadia who just say, you know what? I'll give it all to Jesus. I surrender all. And she's, I love this city. I love this nation. I can't rest until the gospel breaks in powerfully. And it's one of the most challenging cities of the world. The crime rate's super high. I got mugged. Anyway. Well, I got mugged on the metro. I'm like, this city, the Lord shall come. Nadia's going to be going back at some point once we've got her fully well and healthy physically. She's got to go through some hospitals, treatments and things like that. Please be praying for her because the ideal would be no knife needs to touch her body, right? We believe for a supernatural miracle, but we want to send her back strong. We are launching in Bermuda. Woo, woo, woo. Mission trips, anybody? Oh, everyone's starting to get a bit excited now. We've been having ministry going in there for the last couple of years, certainly the last 18 months, and one of the biggest needs out there right now is healing, wholeness, and deliverance, and the church out there is just staunchly religious, and it's stuck in a Pentecostal religious rut, and it needs a fresh encounter with God, and so Chrissy and her team are launching the Restoration Center in Bermuda next month. That's launching. As a result, Fresh Fire, of course, will be established there as well at some point in phase one. And Jermaine and Kirk there, you can see their photo if you get a little bit closer. I'll send this out so you all can see it. They're going to be spearheading the work there. They've got a great team, a real strong team. We've been working behind the scenes for the last 8 months with that team and helping them get strong and ready to launch this year. And the warfare has been strong, but our God is stronger. Amen. Amen. We are going to start speculating into London. We've been having people coming up from Restoration Center days. We've had people coming up for the prophetic encounters. The things that we're doing here, there is a growing demand in London, particularly since we've had some of our work seen on TBN and on Revelation TV. People are starting to hear a lot more about Fresh Fire, and we're getting regular communication from people in London. When can you do something down there? So we're going to start exploring. We've got a passion for central London. We've got a passion for the Shepherd's Bush area. And we're starting to pray and to seek the Lord about how we go into there. And so if you're interested in that and you want to find out more about London and how that's going to look, come and talk to me. Hey, Buddy, our man in Kathmandu. Buddy and his family have been doing incredible work out there. We have 3 churches in Nepal, but this year we're giving them the challenge to multiply and to build another 3 more reproducing churches. And so Matt and Leona and some of the team, myself as well, we'll be going out there and we'll be bringing the challenge and enabling them to go to the next level to reproduce. And what about Manchester? Well, Fresh Fire Church, Manchester. Well, we can't be allowing ourselves to get a big fat church. We don't want to do that, do we? We've said all along, we're not about big congregations. Nice, comfortable-sized congregations just like this is what we're looking for. But we want to take territory in Oldham, which we're working on, and Elliot and Kezia are spearheading that work. We want to hit Hyde as well. We want to go into Rochdale, and we want to go into Withenshaw. And so these, he's back in the room. We're really passionate about our city, and we reckon that the best way to reach our city is not through one big mega church, but through a relationally connected, smaller communities of people where everybody's involved, everybody's engaged. You've got fivefold ministry leadership, and you've got the saints doing the work of the ministry, breaking the ground, signs, wonders, miracles. And I believe it's my heart, what I believe God's put on my heart, is that we plant churches all around the M60. And we see these beacons, these fires lit all around. Rather than having something big in the middle, we surround it with campfires. And we go in as the army of God. We take it from every single direction. That's what I believe we need to do. That's what I believe the mandate is. And so if you want to be a part of church planting in these territories, the way to start now is start praying and praying for those territories, aligning your hearts with it. And we'll give you updates as we go along as to how we're going to go there. This is the key, though. We're going to have that VT on in a minute, so if sound is there. The key is this. Now's the time for us to start to build a soul-winning culture. We are not going to be booking evangelists to come and preach in here for you to bring your mate who's not saved. That's not the way this is going to work. We're not going to do event-based evangelism. We might have one or two things, but what we want to see is a culture where just out of the overflow of your love for Jesus, you're reaching people. You become contagious with the gospel. That wherever you go, people want something about what you carry. They want the fire of God that burns on them. They want the voice of the Lord that flows from you. They want the power and the anointing that you carry that brings healing, signs, wonders, and breakthrough, and deliverance. They see that, and they want to catch it from you. You can't do that through an event where you're just bringing your mate. This is about something fundamentally shifting in our culture where we're no longer consumers waiting for the next prophetic word and waiting for the next prayer ministry time, but you are the ones that become the ministers of the gospel, the ministers of reconciliation, and you're going into the territory wherever you go, whether you're in Tesco or Asda or wherever you are on the high street, wherever you go, something of the power and the presence of God goes with you, and people start pulling like the woman who pulled on the hem of his garment, and they start pulling on the gospel, and you find yourself in divine setups. This is the culture we want to see. Now, we recognize we need evangelists, but evangelists aren't here to do it for us. They're here to take their anointing and to sprinkle it on every one of us so that we all can do the work of the evangelist. You should all be apostolic. Why? Because you've got apostles in the house. You should all be prophetic. Why? Because you've got prophets in the house. You should all be able to teach. Why? Because he told you to. You should all be able to pastor and love people. Why? Because you have pastors in the house. Now you're going to be equipped with the anointing, with that anointing that allows you to go into territory and to just witness to Jesus as Jesus is seen all over you. Amen. Does that mean that we're not going to have ministries? Yeah, we're totally going to have ministries. We're going to have teams going out. We're going to have all kinds of missional activity. But every day is a mission trip. Amen. Every day is a mission trip. Amen.